This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
We are going to be moving on to our next story, which is about the Public Accounts Committee.
Which has been in the news lately.
All over the news, yes.
And it hit its peak, of course, 2 Fridays ago when Pematang Power MP Nurul Izzah resigned from the committee. She was very frustrated by Pakatan failing to fulfill its election manifesto of having the PAC chairman be from the opposition. So Dato' Sri Ronald Kiendi, he of course recently switched over to Bersatu from UMNO. Copycat resignations followed after Nurul Izzah. Three opposition members in the PAC also quit.
Is that what we're calling it? Copycat resignations?
It's a cute term.
Is it? It's a bit dark. So anyway, after a lot of protest and criticism, obviously, and resignations, the government today decided to move a motion in Parliament to replace Ronald Kiendi with Noraini Ahmad, BN MP from Parit Sulong. Subang MP Wong Chen believes that it was actually Nurul Izzah's resignation that triggered this motion, and it is probably going to be tabled next week.
And next week is the last week of Parliament sittings for this session. So these events, of course, bring up questions about the principles and ethics of the government. You know, it's in their manifesto, and it's a slightly, maybe very bitter memory from the past, where the previous Barisan administration only ever had its own MPs chairing the PAC.
I think that word that you used is so important, which is principle. It's a lot to do with the principle of the matter. I mean, part of it, of course, is in the day-to-day running of the PAC. You want there to be a measure of equality. You want there to be a semblance of, hey, we're going to do the right thing. And in order to do so, we are going to have the correct people involved at this level. And so when you see a government that has shaped its entire identity around being the cleaner government, yeah, then I think it can feel like a bitter pill to swallow, no matter how much you point to, we're going to do it. Which also didn't come actually until the explicit promise of, we're definitely going to address this, didn't come until after people really made a fuss.
Yeah, it's about setting the standards, I think, and setting the structure for which maybe the next government may inherit. If they inherit a good structure, then that means our standards are higher. And in this case, it's great that protests and criticism worked out, because it does maybe give a sense that Pakatan is listening to criticisms from the people.
We wanted to find out exactly what the purpose of the committee is supposed to be and why it became the issue of contention that it did. We're joined now by Professor James Chin, the director of the Asia Institute at the University of Tasmania. Thank you so much for taking the time to speak with us. Could you help explain what the Public Accounts Committee actually is and what they do?
Sure. The Public Accounts Committee is actually one of the long-standing committees in the British Parliament and in many other Commonwealth countries, you have the PAC. So basically, the PAC is the simplest committee to understand. Its role is to scrutinize government machinery, especially how the government spends its money.
And how did they go about choosing which matters to pursue and investigate?
Right, the PAC is very similar to other parliaments in that it chooses what it wants to investigate. So the rules and regulations of PAC is actually set by the PAC themselves. But the rule of thumb is that they will only deal with government departments and they will only deal with items that uses government money. So, for example, they usually don't deal with private companies or private matters that are done with private money.
So have there been cases of note in the past where PAC investigations have played an integral role in impacting how government and government bodies actually go about their business?
Unfortunately, the PAC in Malaysia is fairly new. Although Malaysia follows the Commonwealth system for a very long time, in fact, until 10 years ago, there was no PAC. The government refuses to allow a PAC because they do not want an independent sort of a parliamentary body to investigate their activities. So the PAC in Malaysia is a fairly new thing. And unfortunately, because of its short tenure, it hasn't really had an effect on the Malaysian political system. But traditionally, in places like the UK, Australia, and New Zealand, they have made a major impact. They are basically the last stop for people who want investigations into government maladministration, especially when it comes to misuse of government money. So they've been very useful in investigating wastage in government money. But as I said, for Malaysia, it's a fairly new thing. It's only been there for about 10 years, two parliaments. So it hasn't really done much. But having said that, I think the important thing for your listeners to understand is that the PAC can be a very powerful tool, and a lot of it will depend on the member of the PAC, especially the role of the chairman of the PAC. So that's the reason why Pakatan Harapan, one of the important promises they made in the election is that the PAC is accountable and the chairman of the PAC will be for the opposition. So obviously, if you're for the opposition, you keep a very tight look at government policies and government spending. So that's the reason why they wanted the opposition to head the PAC.
Now, you say the PAC can be a very powerful tool, but what exactly, what powers and influence does the PAC actually have?
Right. For example, in the last parliament, not the present parliament, in the last parliament, the PAC, for example, investigated the 1MDB affair because that dealt with a huge amount of government money. Now, if the PAC had really done its job properly, then the scandal would have been exposed, especially the government component part with the government money going into SRC International, 1MDB. That would have been exposed a long time ago. Now, because of the strong control exerted by the old UMNO Barisan National Government, the PAC was not able to do its job. So that's the reason why I mentioned earlier, it is so important that the PAC in the current government, sorry, the PAC in the current administration will have to be held by a senior member of the opposition.
All right, so let's get into it. What is the selection process like for PAC members, and who decides which MPs to invite and who should chair the committee?
Well, basically, it's the government of the day. So the government of the day will appoint members of the PAC, and they will also have to decide whether they want to give the chair of the PAC to the opposition. So everything is dependent on the government in power. But the tradition in Commonwealth countries where they have an active PAC is that the PAC is always led by a senior member of the opposition. That has been the tradition.
Do MPs have to come with any type of experience or background, basically a stellar CV, to be a good candidate for the PAC?
No. The qualifications for a PAC member is essentially they must be a member of parliament. As you know, there is no requirement for any qualifications to be a member of parliament in Malaysia. You only have to live in a certain area and you have to be of a certain age. And obviously, you can't be a bankrupt. But other than the minimum qualifications to be an MP, those are exactly the minimum qualifications to be a PAC member. All this is selected among the cohort of MPs. So it's really the government who decides who are the members of the PAC.
So having an opposition MP chair the committee was a Pakatan Manifesto promise, but we know this, right? A lot of the promises have yet to be fulfilled. Why did this one trigger outrage, particularly with Pematang Pau MP Nurul Izzah?
For Nurul Izzah, I think she really wanted the PAC to function as a proper PAC like the other Commonwealth countries. I think for her, it was a matter of principle. I think even before Pakatan got into power, I think she understood and I think she stood for the fact that the PAC will have to be controlled by the opposition. It cannot be controlled by the government. Because obviously, if you're part of the ruling party, you're not going to investigate all the maladministration of the ruling party. So I think it's essentially for the PAP. So it's essential for the PAC to work properly. You need a senior member of opposition to chair. And I think that's where Nurul wanted it. And when she saw that the government was unwilling to do it, that's probably the reason why she resigned.
Could the PAC function without opposition MPs?
No. A PAC cannot function without opposition members because the idea behind the PAC is that they have to scrutinize government departments and how the government spend the money. So obviously, the people who can do that is the opposition members. You can't do that if you're part of the ruling government because you'll be investigating your own colleagues. So that is just not possible. So it has to be the opposition who will take the lead in such investigation.
What have been the issues in the past with not having that balanced representation?
I think the balance thing is a bit overblown. I personally feel that if you can appoint a group of independently minded MPs, probably with the majority from the opposition, the PAP can serve as a very powerful check and balance against government maladministration and misspending of money. I think generally as a rule, if the PAP is run properly, it will actually be a very good thing for the Malaysian parliament and the Malaysian political system. But it all comes down to the chair of the PAC and whether the government will give the PAC a full latitude to investigate its own activities.
James, thanks so much for weighing in. That was Professor James Chin, the director of the Asia Institute at the University of Tasmania, speaking to us about the role and function of the PAC.
Let us know your thoughts. You can call 7733.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my, BFM 89.9, the business station.